Well, I'm glad I remember to put the microphone on. I laid on my Bible because, my memory's good. It just don't last long. I done got to where I can hide my own Easter eggs. I can also wrap my own Christmas presents. I couldn't wait to see what I bought me for Christmas last year. Amen. My wife says you can have the same thing next year. I love you, baby doll. Amen. Oh, praise God. I finally got to come to camp meeting here. Amen. And I like camp meetings. I practice camp meetings. and I change denominations. I become a free meal Baptist. Amen. And wherever they food, I like to show up. Amen. I like meetings and eatings. Amen. I'm looking in Hosea chapter 10 tonight. Hosea chapter number 10, and read from verse 1 on down through most of the chapter. Hosea 10 verse 1. Israel is an empty vine. He bringeth forth fruit unto himself according to the multitude of his fruit. He hath increased the altars. According to the goodness of his land, they have made goodly images. We go into verse 2, Hosea chapter 10, verse 2. Their heart is divided. Now shall they be found faulty. He shall break down their altars. He shall spoil their images. For now they shall say, we have no king because we feared not the Lord. What then should a king do to us? They have spoken words, swearing falsely, and making a covenant. Thus judgment springeth up as hemlock and the furrows of the field. The inhabitants of Samaria shall fear because of the calves of Bethaven, for the people thereof shall mourn over it, and the priests thereof that rejoiced on it, for the glory thereof, because it is departed from it. It shall be also carried unto Assyria for a present to King Jerob. Ephraim shall receive shame, and Israel shall be ashamed of his own counsel. As for Samaria, her king is cut off as the foam upon the water. The high places also of Avon, the sin of Israel, shall be destroyed. The thorn and the thistle shall come up on their altars, and they shall say to the mountains, cover us, and to the hills, fall on us. O Israel, thou hast sinned from the days of Gibeah. There they stood, the battle in Gibeah, against the children of iniquity did not overtake them. It is in my desire that I should chastise them, and the people shall be gathered against them when they shall bind themselves in their two furrows. And Ephraim is as an heifer that is taught and loveth to tread out the corn. But I passed over upon her fair neck. I will make Ephraim to ride, Judah shall plow, and Jacob shall break his clods. Sow to yourselves in righteousness, reap in mercy. Break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord till he come and rain righteousness upon you. You have plowed wickedness. You have reaped iniquity. You have eaten the fruit of lies because thou didst trust in thy way and the multitude of thy mighty men. I'm stopping there. Let's have a prayer meeting. Y'all ready to help me pray? Father, we bow now before your throne. We worship and adore you. I'm glad to be here, Lord. I'm glad to be one of your children, your servant, glad to walk with you every day. I'm glad to be a part of the family of God. Lord, I'm thankful for your holy word. And I pray that you'd bless as we've read and would endeavor to preach. We know what the songwriter of old said, all is vain unless the Spirit of the Holy One comes down. And I pray that there'd be that gracious witness. Oh God, that you'd illumine our hearts, minds concerning the truth of God's Word. And that this truth would grip our hearts and be revolutionary. That we as God's people would be doers and not just hearers of the Word of God. That we would hide the Word of God in our hearts. That we might not sin against you. And I pray not only for this service tonight, but for these next few days, that there'd be such an anointing on this meeting. I pray it'd be a season of refreshing and ordained to the glory of God. The Lord have preeminence in every one of these services. And I pray there'd be a sense of your presence even in between the services. Lord, we rejoice at how God met with us on last week, and Brother Clint and I talking a while ago. Oh God, but you're the same yesterday, today, and forever. You're not the I was, you're the I am, who is and was and is to come. And I pray, oh God, bless in ways far above our words or thoughts. We thank you. We agree as God's people. We offer prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. It's time. It's time to seek the Lord. That's what we read. Now I'm going to be drawing from all these verses, or at least give me any of these verses I read. But verse 12 said, sow to yourselves in righteousness, reap in mercy, break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord. If there ever was a time, come on. Come on. Our nation, you know it's in trouble. And I'm putting it lightly, man, our nation. But praise God, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves, that's the first step. That might be the hardest step. Shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. Then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin. And is America sick? Is it sick where you live? It's sick. Then will I heal their land. Praise God. The hope is not in the White House. It's in the church house, in the prayer house. Amen. If my people, are y'all his people? Praise God. Let's pray for old time revival in our own hearts and lives. Oh, God help us tonight. It is time. He said, break up your fallow ground. Break it up. Break up. You're responsible. He didn't say, I'm going to break it up for you. He said, break up your fallow ground. Is there any fallow ground in here tonight? What's that fallow ground mean? I'm no farmer. Some of you farmers can preach this a whole lot better than I can. But we know it's crusted over, and every time, every season there's got to be a fresh plowing. And disking and all that other stuff. I did plant some marijuana and did pretty good with that. That's all. No, I didn't. No, I didn't. but then there got to be a fresh plowing. It doesn't matter. That parcel of ground may have produced more bushels of corn per acre than any piece of ground in all the county or the state for that matter. Well, great. But guess what? This year, there must be a fresh plowing. It can't live off what happened last year. Amen. And it doesn't matter how God used you in days gone by, there's got to be a fresh plowing. The ground gets crusted over not because it's done anything wrong, but just in the process of events, the weather and conditions, it just natural course, it crusts, and so does your heart. It's not like you have to go and do something wrong. It just gets crusted over. And I want my fallow ground broken up. Man, I don't want to be stiff and rigid. And when that ground is hard, it will not receive the seed. And it will not receive the intake of rain. It's got to be tendered. Our hearts must be tendered. Have you become... It's amazing how fast you can get hard-hearted as God's youngins. Don't think you have to backslide for this to happen. The disciples had seen the miracle of the Lord feeding the multitude, 5,000 men plus famines. He had seen that. And in the same chapter, they're out on the stormy sea, and the Bible says already their hearts were hardened just that quick. And oh, you might get a good plowing up last week, but already it might already be another plowing might be needed. Break up your fallow ground. It is time. And it says, till he come. Amen. I want him, don't y'all? Till he come. Oh God, we want you. We want you in our midst. Lord, it's not some big name somebody. It's you that we want to have the glory and the preeminence in our midst. Till he come and rain righteousness upon you. You have plowed wickedness. You have reaped iniquity. Man, I mean, can't you see how much wrong we've done? Plowed wickedness, reaped iniquity, have eaten the fruit of lies. And here's the problem. Because thou didst trust in thy way. There's a way that seemeth right unto a man, but then thereof are the ways of death. Oh God, no longer my way, but your way. And the multitude of thy mighty men. But now we're going to focus on this thought. It is time, and we're going to draw from this chapter the indications of the time of what's the symptoms that it's time to seek the Lord. We're going to, first of all, we look in verse 1. Israel is an empty vine. Now that, we're going to stop right there. Empty, 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 empty. Oh yes, I've been powerfully saved, but are you empty-hearted tonight? Have you lost that fullness? Have you lost the fire? Have you lost the sweetness of a Christian experience? Man, is it just vain repetition? Oh brother, you sing, you got an empty heart, you sing empty songs, you give an empty testimony. Well, I'm glad I was saved 100 years ago, blah, blah, blah. And it no longer grips you, it doesn't grip anybody else, it's just vain repetition. Your prayers are empty, I mean your church life is empty, you come empty, you leave empty. Man, are you empty tonight? Anybody empty? Blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness. Oh, there was a time you was full. Naomi, she said, I can remember a time I was full. In Ruth chapter 1, she says, I went out full, but I've come home empty. Now, what can you do for God empty? You know, God's will is that we be filled with His fullness. You remember reading that? That you might be filled with all the fullness of God. I want God's fullness in my life. And I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. His fullness. Man, if we just work in the power of, you know, what the flesh can do, what our maybe talents or whatever, it's all in vain. But oh, for the infilling. The prodigal son experienced this emptiness. Man, he went out full. He went out full and confident, but then he winds up in the hog pen, and he would have fain filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat. Man, he got hungry in the hog pen. He said, how much bread and to spare is at my father's house? And I perish with hunger. I'm hungry. I'm hungry. But I want to get back to the Father. I want to get back to the Father's house. Get back to the Father's table. I'm ready to go home. Some of you, you need to get back home tonight. You need to get back in relationship with the Father. And back in the Father. I know you're here tonight, but praise God, you need to get really on fire again in the house of God. Empty. Empty hearts and words and your worship. Your worship has become vain repetition. Oh yeah, bless me if you can. You thank God you're here, but you know, worship, you have to get involved. We're used to the word, well, we're having a worship service, and almost don't like that terminology. And the reason is because used to we had service stations. Used to, you'd go up to, get gas, and it was a service station. They'd come out and wash your windshield, check your oil, check your tires, and pump your gas, and they did it all with a smile, at least most of them. I had some. But it was a service station. Now it's all do it yourself. Amen. And that was a service station because they did the service for you. Well, guess what? We're not going to worship for you. You have to worship for yourself. I mean, brother, we're going to have camp meeting. I'm here to get in on it. Amen. I'm not going to be a wallflower. Praise God, I'm not going to be a spectator. I'm going to be a participator. I'm here to have camp meeting. And Weaver, we're going to get in on it. You understand that? Yeah, I do. Amen. I'm going to be an amener. I'm going to be a hallelujah-er. I'm going to be a shouter. I'm not going to be a powder. Amen. Man, some of y'all need to get out of the dumps, get over the humps, quit the bumps. And don't get the mumps. I mean, it does rhyme, amen. But you do need to get the umps. Amen. But tonight, you're empty, you're empty. In Ephesians 5:18, be not drunk with wine. Man, back when you was a heathen, you got full of the devil. You got, some of y'all might have been drunk. Some of you look like you were. Amen. I didn't mean that. But you didn't think anything of, man, getting full of something, this world, full of dope, full of, alcohol. I mean, just anything to make me, man, when you got full, you didn't care what anybody thought. You just get, man, you're the life of the party. But now you're the deadbeat of the church. Yeah. Hey man, get out of the deadbeat business. Our God is a living God. And He says, I'm not the God of the dead, but I'm the God of the living. Yeah, preach it, Weaver, preach it, amen. Amen. He's not the God of the dead, but the God of the living. Sister Donna, I wanted to lead that song so much last week. See, we switch around the song leading, and I love to lead that song. Rejoice, rejoice, oh Christian, lift up your voice and sing. That's the last verse of the song, but I like that verse. Eternal hallelujah, He lives. Woo! You ask me how, I know He lives. He lives. Woo! He lives within my heart. Praise God, I serve a risen Savior. He's alive. He's alive. He's alive forevermore. And guess what? I got His life in me. Well, praise God. Christianity is a life. It's not a hobby. It's not a religion. It's a life. It's a life. And praise God, He quickened me. I was dead, but I'm not dead no more. I'm not dead. Why act like you're dead when you're not dead? Are y'all alive tonight? Amen. We want y'all to come take your pulse. You know about this one deacon had a heart attack, in the front pew of the church, and they called the, ERs in, what you call them medical, the what? EMS, the mess in, okay. EMS. They called, and they had to check out 7 deacons to see which one of them had the heart attack. Amen. Y'all know it's scripture for deacons to do funerals, don't you? It says, let the dead bury the dead. Ha! Yeah. I love y'all deacons. Please don't think I'm picking on you. I mean, that's part of the ministry of deacons is being picked on, so. And I don't know where you read that at. Probably in 2 Weaver chapter 3, but. Man, Israel is an empty, empty, empty. Do you remember when there was a presence, when there was a power that you couldn't explain, when there was holy divine reality? Do you remember? when you had full salvation, when you was full of joy. Yeah! Joy unspeakable. Oh, now we sing it. And a joy unspeakable and full of glory. Where is it? Paul asked the Galatians, where is the blessedness that you spake of? Man, we speak of it. Oh, victory in Jesus. But man, there's no expression of it. Man, why don't you sing like you got it? Amen. Oh, victory in Jesus. Amen. Man, you was full. You was full of God's fullness. You was full of the love of God. Do you remember when His love melted your heart? Do you remember when all that hate stuff was displaced by the love of God? You used to be so hateful, so irritable. But you got saved. And Romans 5:5 says that the love of God was shed abroad. Was shed abroad, man. It possessed our soul by the Holy Ghost. Have you lost that? Have you got back in that hateful stuff? Some of the most hateful people I've ever met have been in church. That ought not to be. But man, that's just the way it is. Jesus said in John 13:34, by this shall all men know that you're my disciples, if you have your hair cut right. And I could name off many other things. If you got the KJV or something like that, no. And I'm not making light of those things. They said, this is the badge. This is the hallmark that you're one of mine. And it does. It says, if you have love one, two, and by the way, it doesn't say four. It says one. In other words, it must be active. It must be expressed. We are so deceitful. We got all kind of spiritual cop-outs. Oh, I love His soul. I hate everything else, but I love His soul. Oh, can't you see my wings sprouting? I love His soul. Oh, you hypocrite, you. Amen. Amen. I get meaner by the minute. Amen. I pestered and pastored both for 18 years, and I learned what Baptists do. Amen. Filled with joy, filled with love, filled with His strength and His power, filled with His very life. Man, it was no problem to live the Christian life because it was Christ in you. Now, y'all have to use an imagination when I preach. This might look like a handkerchief and act like a handkerchief. It might have a booger on it, but this is a glove. Okay, this is a glove. Now, being this a glove, it's made in the image and the likeness of my hand. Okay, Mr. Glove, go pick up that book over there. Okay, I'll go play some notes on the piano. I know you can't play as good as Sister Donna, but go and do it anyway. I mean, it's got four fingers and a thumb and a palm. What's the matter? Is he stubborn, hard-headed? He can't do it. I mean, he's got all the faculties. There's only one way he can do it. Be filled with another power. Now he can go hit some notes on the piano. He can pick up. He can do whatever this hand can do. Whatever this hand can do, he can do it. I can't do nothing. Well, you're right. Yeah, you can't. But get full of the hand, and you can do a bunch of stuff. Amen. Praise God. You say, I can't do nothing. Quit saying that. Quit feeling sorry for yourself and get full of God. And get on fire for God. Quit being a deadbeat. Amen. And quit feeling sorry for yourself. Quit making excuses for yourself. And man, I wish I could think of some more mean stuff to say about it. Amen. Okay. Empty. Okay, I guess about time for second gear, isn't it? Amen. And it's right here in the text. He bringeth forth fruit unto himself. Now, that next point is it's time to seek God, not only when you're empty, but when you've become selfish. Living for you. Oh, it's all about you. It's either my way or the highway. Everybody cater to you. Brother, bringing forth fruit. Oh yeah, bringing forth fruit, but it's all for me. Oh, you love to glory in yourself. You like to be bragged on. You love the accolades. Man, you just won't. You got to have recognition. I mean, if the preacher don't call your name out because you swept, you know, two or three rows of trash out, well, I'll just never do that again. I mean, man, he ought to put me in the bulletin and on the radio and say, by the way, folks, Sister so-and-so swept our floor, at least half of it. I thought you lived for the glory of God. You know, are y'all saved tonight? Praise God if you're saved. I hope you're saved. It's wonderful that God saved you from hell, but I'll tell you another good salvation. I'm not preaching a double salvation, but still, just bear with me in my folly, amen. But pray that God will save you from you. Lord, you saved me from hell. Thank God you saved me from hell. Save me from me. Amen. Oh, brother, not desiring the sinner of attention, but bringing honor and glory unto the Lord. You know the word joy, and I'm trying to think of that fancy thing when you got a word for every letter. I can't acrostic. I was wanting to say acrylic, and I say I know that ain't right. But y'all know it. That's nothing new to you. But here it comes, Jesus. Others and you. Now, y'all know who the founder of the Salvation Army was. William Booth. And there was this guy that had worked under his ministry like 20 years. And he went to him one day and said, Mr. Booth, or whatever he referred to him as. He said, you know, I've been under your ministry all these years and I've watched you closely. I've seen you when times are good and times are bad through storms and valleys. I've seen you in battles and difficulties. But I've always seen such a glow, such a buoyant spirit demonstrated in you. You've always had this touch of heaven on your countenance. You've always had this joy, and I just want to know your secret. He said, well, he said it wraps up in one word, others. Now, I know we would say Jesus, we know that, but still, I'm telling you, at least this makes a good point. He said, the day that God laid the poor of London on my heart, and I began ministering to the needs of others, I've had this joy. The most miserable person you'll ever meet is the person that lives for himself. It's impossible. If you live for happiness, you'll never be happy. It's elusive. Because if you're living for happiness, that means you're really living for you. But you forget, and you just start trying. You start living to be a blessing to others. You do reap what you sow, by the way. I think that would include blessings. There was this one lady who had gone to her pastor one Sunday afternoon and said, preacher, I need some help. I'm on the verge of a nervous breakdown and I need some counsel. I need some help. And he says, okay, sister, look, as serious and as complex as your case is, give me a week to do some praying and some getting some materials together. And next week, we'll get together, my wife and you, and we'll deal with your problem. He says, but meanwhile, you know, being that I'm going to be working off all this, usually on Mondays, I go to this hospital down here and there are several rooms I go and visit and read some scripture and pray with them. And would you mind doing that Monday? And Tuesday, there's a jail over here, and there's a women's department in that jail. And, you know, if you don't mind, go to the jail and, you know, do some of the stuff like that. And then on Wednesday, there's a nursing home over here. And we go there and we go from room to room and, you know, trying to be a blessing, reading scripture and maybe, give a little token of appreciation, just something, and pray with them. And then on Thursday, there's another hospital. Friday, there's something else. And she agreed she's going to do all this stuff. And while he's working her case, so the next Sunday rolls around, here she comes in the door. And he says, "Hey, sister, about your nervous breakdown." "What nervous breakdown? I ain't got time to have a nervous breakdown." "It'll help you, amen. It'll help you. Amen."
Amen.
Man, start living a life that means something to the glory of God. Man, quit doubting and quit pouting and get to shouting. Amen. And be a blessing. Ask God to make you a blessing. To make you a blessing to this preacher over here, to his family. Make you a blessing to this church. Amen. You remember when you used to love your church? It's still right to love the church. Jesus loved the church and gave himself for it.
Amen.
Man, you remember when you was excited? You came to church with your heart. You actually brought your heart with you. Now you leave your heart at home, or maybe it's at Walmart. Maybe it's at the fishing hole. Our Walmart burnt down in Augusta last week and left 400 women homeless. Amen. Oh, brother. Oh, should I give an invitation right now? Okay, I guess we better go to number 3 here now. Okay, verse 2. Their heart, here it is, you see it, is divided. You remember when you was wholehearted? Come on now. You remember when you loved him with all your heart? You remember when your heart was bathed in this book on a regular basis? You remember when your heart was in church? You worship God. I mean, man, you were serious about worship. Now you go like a knot on the log. I'm glad you're here, but man, where's your heart? Where's your heart? Oh, you served him with your heart. Preacher said, "We need somebody. I want to do it. Let me finish what I'm going to say. I want to do it. Man, you was excited. You had yearning and desire. I want to serve God. I want to be a part of the work of the advancement." And you would give with your heart. Now you become stingy, going back to that second point. Bring forth fruit to yourself. You earn money for yourself. I guess I need to add to them notes. Amen. Everything you buy is for you. I've known men. I know I'm backing up, but it doesn't matter. I'm still preaching. I've known men so sorry as the day is long that the money that they make, they go buy them a rifle, a fishing, maybe a boat or an expensive rod and reel. They buy, I know one man, he bought big old tires for his four-wheeler truck, these big old expensive tires, and let the children go lacking. I mean, not buy shoes for the kids to get mad if the wife buys anything, you know, that costs $10. But oh, he can spend everything for him. That's a sorry devil right there. Amen. Yeah, tell him, Weaver, tell him. Well, I better get back to the point I'm supposed to be on. But, you know, sometimes I sneak in points. A divided heart. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love money.
Come on, brother.
Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but of the world. That's 1 John 2:15. A divided heart. Demas seemed to have had that problem. 2 Timothy 4:10, "For Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world." Oh yeah, you love God. You love the church, but man, you love that money. You love materialism. You're addicted to things. You're addicted to your play toys. 40 years old and still it's a play toy life. You ought to get right with God tonight. And I love preaching out of Matthew 6:24. No man can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or love the one and despise the other. I'm not quoting exactly, but you know, Jesus said, in reality, you can't do that. Tonight, your heart is divided. You know, God is not going to live in a duplex heart. He wants the whole thing. Have you really been saved? Powerfully saved? Talk to me. Have you been powerfully saved? Gloriously saved? Do you know? Come on. Do you know? Do you know? Do you know? My name is in the Lamb's Book of Life. Praise God. Praise God. Did Jesus come into your heart? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness and all these things. God knows you need things, but they'll be added unto you. But go all the way with holy passion after God. Ask God tonight on this altar, when you get down this altar to pray, to give your heart back. To give you a heart for Him again. To give you a heart for your church, the Word of God. A heart for prayer. A heart for this meeting that we're having. Man, put your heart in it. Come on. Y'all come to church. Don't come being pouters and doubters, but come being shouters. Amen, brother. God, hey, that glorifies God. Did you know that the devil's allergic to praise? He's allergic. But God inhabits the praises of His people. A divided heart. Well, let me go on to the next one. I don't have but 20 left, so we're making good time. And anyway, it's only 3:15 in Alaska. See, I keep up with Alaska time now. I got so used to it. And so we got plenty of time. Amen. We'll let you out by 6:00. By Alaska time. Woo! Oh, well, we'll get to the next one. I forgot what it was now. Here we go. Verse 4. They have spoken words swearing falsely. I pastored many years and I've had some of this stuff. I've had people come forward, promise the sun, the moon, and the stars, so to speak. I've had them come forward with tears running down their face. Boy, I'm going to really do something with God. And the next week I had to send the FBI to find out where they were. Man, you know, talk comes cheap. God's not going to fall for your sweet talk. Come on. Brother, God wants something besides words. Be doers and not just hearers of the Word of God. Man, get your heart in there. And don't tell a bunch of lies. Don't lie to God. Don't lie to the preacher here. Don't lie to your church. I'm just looking to see if y'all might have a covenant up in here. But when you join a church, you know, there's an agreement. You don't come just to hang your hat on a church roll. There's a commitment involved. And you know what? You ought to be the best church member. You ought to just, man, put your whole heart. I want to be a good church member. I want to make my church look good. And is it okay to love your church? Jesus did. Now, you know, some people, they're too spiritual for the church. Me and Jesus got our own thing going. Sister Donna, can you play that song? I knew she could. We'll have to leave the camp meeting sometime. Me and Jesus got our own thing going. Blah, 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 blah. Well, we don't do that song. I don't like that song. And maybe you can sing it and have good intentions, but You know, a lot of times the attitude of that song is, leave the church out, leave everybody else, just me and Jesus. Well, God places us together. He adds to the church daily such as should be saved. He's a church God. He loved the church, as we've already said. And the church is very special to Him because it's the bride of Christ. Now, I know we got some food coming about this week, and I'm all for it. But let's just say, you know, I was here for a few days extra, and you call me up and say, Brother Weaver, we grilling some T-bone steaks tonight, and we invite you to come out and eat some steaks with us. I say, okay, great. What time? You say, 5:00. I say, we'll be there. He said, wait a minute. Did you just say, we? Like, and more than one, you know, plural? I said, yeah, you know, like, I married a wife. You said, now, Brother Weaver, now look, we love you. We really want you over, but we can't stand the ground your wife walks on. Don't bring her anywhere near our property. Now, what kind of man would I be to accept the invitation to go to your place and my wife ain't well? Oh, I'll tell you what, hungry, baby doll, bring home a doggy bag. I'd be a sorry somebody, wouldn't I? I mean, really, the fact is, if she's not welcome, I'm not welcome. If you don't love His bride, you really don't love Him. Unto Him be glory at the club. No! And anywhere else but in the church. That's where He gets glory, is in the church. So don't be a liar, swearing falsely. False commitments, membership, tithing. Are y'all tithers around here? Do y'all really believe in tithing? Man, I didn't know it was in there either, so don't. But there it is. Tithing and giving. And of course, you're putting on this meeting, so I'm sure there has to be somebody doing it. But what about you? Oh, you're not going to leave it for just the guys that got a bunch of money. And you know, a lot of times, poor people, they finagle their way out. I think it was the widow that put in one mite that Jesus recognized above all those rich Pharisees. Don't think just because you live off a pension or, you know, a little meager that, well, God don't need your money. You're responsible to tithe. Come on! You're responsible to tithe and you can give. The widow that had a son and just a little bit of meal in the barrel, the man of God says, give it to me. She says, okay, we'll do it and die. Of course, you know the story, what happened. But these were givers. God recognizes poor givers. I mean, those who are poor, but yet they give. Brother, don't excuse yourself from giving unto the cause and to the furtherance of God's holy kingdom. Man, you ought to be excited about giving. Thank God. God loveth a cheerful giver. And then I go to my next point, and guess what? I'm almost through. I say that to encourage you. But verse 5 is where I get my last point. The inhabitants of Samaria shall fear because of the calves of Bethaven, which we know is a reference to idolatry. For the people thereof shall mourn over it, and the priests thereof that rejoiced on it, for the glory thereof, because it is departed from it. Now, I know this is talking about idolatry and their glory, but we're going to bring it home to us-ins. I want to die on the battlefield with glory in my soul. What a wonderful, wonderful day. Day I'll never forget. Heaven came down and glory filled my soul. Praise God, man. You ought to get in on the glory of God. Let the glory get in your soul. Live for the glory of God. You remember the story about Ichabod. Ichabod was written across the doorway of the temple. Ichabod, what did it mean? You Bible students, you know what it means. The glory has departed. I've been in some Baptist churches that they didn't see the name there, but I saw it there. Ichabod. The glory has departed. Some of you have it written on your forehead. The glory has departed. Brother, isn't it wonderful? Do you remember when you were saved? Are y'all powerfully saved people tonight? You remember, and I love that song. I wish it was in our church hymnal, Brother Clint. And I know it's not, it might not be, it's like this brother said a while ago, there's in the camp meeting song. Man, there's a lot of what they call not camp meeting songs I like. Amen. And that'd be a good old camp meeting song. Oh, what a wonderful, wonderful day. Heaven came down. I'm glad I can remember when the glory of God, I've been in the glory. And I'm addicted to the glory. Man, I want God's glory on my life, in my bosom. And I want to do all I can to glorify Him in my life. But we need, it's a true indication that it's time to seek the Lord when there's no more glory in our souls, in our songs, in our sanctuary. I just made up that alliteration. But when there's no more glory in our church, I'm going to tell you what, I remember reading a quote by D.L. Moody. He said, "You show me a church," and he's talking about joy, "where there's real joy, rejoicing. You show me a church like that." He says, "I don't care where that church is, how far out in the sticks that church is. I'll show you a church where two things are happening. I'll show you a church where sinners are being saved, and I'll show you a church where there's successful Christianity." Brother, you get the glory of God in your church. Let me say, get it in your own heart. Get it on your own heart. And the glory of God, and thank God this is a good church, but man, just let it even increase more and more. The glory of God. The glory in the church. And there's a holy attraction about God's glory that will whet the appetite that souls will be drawn to the Lord. Well, I'm finished, and Pastor will come as I lead in prayer and whatever music is in order. Father, I pray there be honesty in the house of God tonight. I pray there'd be total honesty, transparency. I pray there'd be such a holy witness of the Spirit of God. I pray against the devils of pride and arrogance and stubbornness. I plead the blood of Christ on this service, on this invitation. I pray there be somebody hungry for God tonight. Somebody that wants to get back to a fullness. They've been empty a long time. Some that are here that used to have the glory of God in their lives, but it's gone. We need You, Lord. We look to You. And we pray that You'd anoint and bless now this invitation. In Christ's name, amen. Amen.